I was wondering if you could comment on this. I've noticed this for a long time. When the mind rests in awareness and it's not going out, it feels very, very natural. It knows that this is the place to be. But still, over and over again, no matter how clearly it sees this pure quality and peaceful quality, it still goes out to thoughts. Well, going out to external senses is very gross and clear, but even thoughts, I see the mind like it goes out, it keeps going out, it keeps grabbing, it keeps identifying, even though it knows this is dukkha. It's seen over and over and over. And there are moments when it doesn't go out. But still, it continues to do that. And it continues to identify. So I was wondering whether you'd comment on that.
Well, what comes to mind is to say that not all members of the committee are functioning on the same program.
Okay. Could you elaborate?
So we tend to think of the mind as a single thing. But personally, I find it's more helpful to consider it as a committee. Quite a few people use that kind of languaging because you've got a number of different attitudes or motivations that are conditioned in what we call our mind. And they can be quite varied in the conditioning and habits that are associated. So some of the members of the inner committee are completely clear and awake and utterly uninterested in believing in a thought, and others are eager to grab onto anything that's moving just for the sake of something to grab. And, you know, a great variety. I find it's most helpful to be ready to name that process, even if they're like a strong habit that can't just be switched off by, oh, look, you know, my mind is moving towards restlessness or sleepiness or speculation. You know, oh, look, my mind's speculating. Stop that. You can't just decide for it to stop and it stops. But to recognize, oh, here is that member of the committee, that aspect of mind that loves to speculate, that loves to go into thinking or loves to remember and relive memories or loves to plan or in those realms of thinking. That's what this is. This is the planning mind having an interesting day. That's what this is. And no comment, no sort of, it shouldn't be there or how can I get rid of this or this is bad and wrong. But just, here it is. And in the practice as I experience it, the simpler that kind of naming and clarification process is, the more effective. Rather than getting into a whole kind of papuncha string of, therefore I should, just, here is the mind getting drawn into speculation. Here's the mind getting into anxiety. That's what this is. Full stop. Just naming what's present with no comment about it. I don't know if you have any particular methodologies, but that's my favorite way of working with.
Yeah, absolutely, because the expectation of unanimity within the mind for every thought and feeling, perception to be absolutely unanimous and everybody on board, everything on board is kind of idealizing what we think our mind should be. And to me, what is more important is the flavor of disenchantment. And recognizing it without proliferating, which is really important. Because you can't strategize to get out of that. What you can do is realize this is dukkha. And be willing to get that flavor of disenchantment.
I was wondering about exactly that. It's like the mind has seen how it is on both sides. It is disenchanted to a certain degree, yeah. But not enough.
Yeah. But that's why we keep practicing.
The sense of disenchantment is not strong enough. Is it because the wisdom faculty is not strong enough?
Well, even idealizing that if I only had more wisdom, then I'd be able to crack this nut. Because the bar keeps... That bar is set by our desire. And so the bar keeps moving because we invest in that desire. And so that disenchantment is really...
Desire for disenchantment.
Yeah.
Interesting.
the disenchantment is, in a way, you're taking away the enchantment. So that it's still the perceptions are there, but the mind is not making a whole story around it. So if there's something that you like or something that you dislike, say, for example, the mind isn't proliferating around food, that you forget food exists until you're in the line at the mealtime, and then you see something in a dish and you go, ooh, that looks great. And suddenly the eating demon arises. Rah! But then, you know, your body's hungry and you see and you smell desirable food and you go, ooh. And so to think it shouldn't be that way is negating just the body's need for nourishment. That's the recognizing, oh, I forgot food existed until 5 minutes ago, and then suddenly, whoomph, wow, I want to eat the whole thing. Just recognizing, oh, look at that. That's an arisen thing. You're removing the enchantment by seeing it as it is. Okay, I hadn't been thinking about food, and there's food in front of me, my body's hungry, and it goes, ooh, interesting. That's it.
It's a natural response, you say.
Or similarly, aversion. It can be that the anagarika in front of you takes the last one of the things that you really like. And he, torture, death. Yeah, how dare she? And then you didn't even care about that, you know, 2 minutes ago. And then suddenly this person deserves to be tortured and murdered kind of miserably because they took what you wanted. And it didn't even exist a minute before. And then, oh, look at that. Suddenly that arises because of these sort of instinctual reactions. That's it. No need to make a story around it. So the feelings of attraction or aversion in something that's pleasant or painful, they can be there, but it's the not making a story around it. What's that, Gumbochala? Kenan. It's just that.
Yeah, just that. Just that much.
It's just that much. That's it. It's just, I want to eat the whole thing. So that's it. It's just that much. It's just a feeling. We don't have to make a drama about it. In a way, it's a kind of compassion for your own conditioning, our own birth, that there are these fears and aversions and desires and the habits that come from birth. Yeah. At the mealtime today, the regular Monday group were asking about my TIA experience, and they said, well, what was the cause of it, Ajahn? And I said, birth. And I'm 68 years old, so, you know, stuff happens and stops happening. You know. There's probably a bit more of a specific medical cause. But yeah, we're born, so the body is going to work well some of the time and not well other times. That's it. It doesn't mean you don't take the medicine and do what you need to, but that capacity that we have just to keep life really simple, it's just that much. That's it. And with that attitude, that disenchantment, we're still seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, tasting, touching. But life is a lot more spacious. There's a lot more room in our experiential field. The experience of living is much more roomy, spacious.